Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
All right, before we talk about SI pain, because that's going to be so many people needing to know and understand the actual facts about it, let's talk about our feet, because this is something we talk about all the time. But Vivo Barefoot actually has a new shoe out.
Yeah, Jen was telling me, she's like, it's my favorite. I'm like, we haven't even gotten it yet. She's like, I know, but it's going to be my favorite. It is their Primus Light Knit. And this is like combining the best of both worlds, because they've had their knit shoes, which Jen loves because they always fit so incredibly. And they've had the Primus Light series, which is like their flagship shoe. You can do everything in it. You can work out, wear them casually, everything. And now they have the Primus Light Knit. So it's going to be great for working out. It's going to fit incredibly because it has like the knit sock-like thing around your ankle. And I know Jen's excited to get her pair.
Honestly, when people ask me like, what shoes should I get? I'm always looking at either the Knit or the Primus Light. Those are like the two that I recommend. So the fact that they are merging and they're coming together to make the perfect shoe, this is the shoe to start with. Even if you have Vivo shoes already, just I think you're going to want to get these. I know I'm so excited about them and to really experiment and try them. I use them for working out. I use them for walking. I mean, we only wear Vivo barefoot shoes. You should see our garage. They're just, that's the shoe that we rely on all the time.
Yeah. Jen will go to like a wedding and she'll have like some fancy looking pair of shoes that she'll just like keep in her bag. But like while we're getting ready for the wedding or beforehand, or when we're going to the dance afterwards, she slips on her Vivos because again, we love them. They help us feel the ground. We have noticed such significant difference in how our feet move and function over the past 3+ years of wearing these exclusively. And our podcast audience gets 15% off only. So go down to the link in the show notes. It'll show you the code. Or if you go right to their website, make sure you use code OPTIMAL at checkout. That's going to get you 15% off this incredible new shoe they have coming out, the Primus Light Knits. I know they go fast. Certain colors sell out in certain sizes.
The sizes go
right
really
away.
Fast, yeah.
I know my size 13s in men go so fast. So get after them. If you're going to get a gift for a friend, a partner, whoever, make sure you use code OPTIMAL at checkout to get 15% off.
We've had a code change, so make sure you use code TOB so that you get 15% off. That is TOB, like the Optimal Body Podcast. Coming back around on the SI, so we've done this on episode 36. That was quite a while back, but I think this is an incredibly important message to continue to put out. So maybe we'll put out more SI podcasts in the future. Because every time I post about it, I feel like I'm probably blowing someone's mind or disproving something that they have been told probably over and over again. And this is something that, you know, it really, it boils my blood, because the messages that we tell patients and that we tell ourselves really play a role in our pain journey and how we progress and improve.
Yeah. And I feel like often it'll just fall on deaf ears too, because when you get spoken a message to you enough that seems to fit the picture, like, oh, your SI is out of place, and when you come in, I can help fix that. And then a PT or a physio or a chiro does some magical technique and you feel slightly better. It makes sense. Oh yeah, my SI was out of place. They did that thing and now I'm back into place. And so it's like hard to break those things down in people's heads with a simple Instagram post, because I'll always see comments on your posts that say, oh yeah, my SI always goes out of place. Like, thanks for posting this, where they don't even really watch the video or read the caption. They just see SI, they just see SI joint out of place. Yep, that's me.
Yeah.
Keep scrolling, you know? So it's like, it's so hard to get this message through that your SI joint doesn't go out of place. Mm-mm. Like, it is one of the most stable structures in our entire body. It basically is our defense system for protecting our reproductive organs. Mm-hmm. It's like our species would probably not continue to survive if we didn't have such an amazing fortress that is our sacrum and our pelvis and our iliac bones and everything that goes into making that such a stable foundation for our body. And the SI joint itself has such tiny, minimal movement
to it.
Such
little movement. I mean, when we look at it, it says probably average 1.4, 1.6 for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think that was average men and average women who have never had a child.
Yes. Yeah, so after childbirth and maybe multiple children, it can go up to 3.1 millimeters. But again, 1.4 to 3.1 millimeters is not very much movement. Yeah,
those who don't work in the metric system that well, that's like less than a tenth of an inch, which isn't even a good standard measurement to use for inches because they go in eighths and sixteenths, but it's like close to a tenth of an inch, which is like nothing that that sacrum is going to be moving on a consistent basis. And so when somebody says, oh, your sacrum's out of place or your right sacrum is stuck forward, again, like it's just often not the reality of why we're feeling pain.
Exactly. And I think that's what we really want to identify here. If we look at structures, which hopefully we'll put them up on YouTube, you know, when we look at an SI joint itself, so let's define what that is a little bit. So we have our iliums, which make up like our hip bone. So it's like we can put our hands on the side of our hip bones, right? Yeah. Those are our iliums. And they connect back into what's called your sacrum. So that's kind of like the triangle muscle at the base of the spine. Bone. Sorry, bone. Wow, I said muscle. So your triangular bone at the base of your spine. And so that with your ilium and your sacrum combined together creates your SI joint or your sacroiliac joint. So again, it's this joint between these, you know, between your hip bones, those bones, and then your tailbone area that you're kind of looking at. And we're looking at the movement. But then if we look at what goes on top of those bones, there's a ton of ligaments. Like if we actually look at the ligaments that cross over this entire SI area, it is so many ligaments. And then let's put all the muscles that are now connected on top of, you know, that SI area. And then the muscles that go at the base, which are our pelvic floor and that make up that help support. And then the back that comes back into the SI area. Like, it, we have so many layers of support around this SI area.
Yeah, that for your SI to go out of place, just again, it doesn't fit the picture. It doesn't fit the reality. And so then people might ask, well, then why am I having pain? And I think that's the main question people care about.
Yes.
Another, before we bring that up, so we'll hold you in a little more suspense. another thing that therapists, especially PTs, like to do is we do all these sacral tests. Mm-hmm. You know, we press on the sides of your hips. We try and like do some rotation of one side of your pelvis.
Or we just palpate.
Or we just, you know, we'll palpate. And a lot of these are called like SI joint provocation tests. Mm-hmm. Like there's a group of like four or five of them that you can do. And the more of them that are positive, that means, oh yeah, you have SI pain. But that's all it tells you. Like often people want to say, oh, when I compress, that means it's giving you more stability. So you're probably unstable in your SI joint. Like, no, again, that's not the reality because we can't tell just by pressing on a bone, whether it's unstable, whether it's stuck, whether any of that has to do with anything. It just tells us that it's irritated and it's feeling pain. And that's all those different tests are telling us, which kind of plays into the reason as to why we start getting SI pain.
Yeah. And because there's such little movement that is really detectable from this SI area, like, because sometimes we'll put our finger, you know, on one structure and then another structure and tell you to kind of like lift your knee or march in place. But because there is, one, so much tissue around that area, and then two, so little movement, it's really hard, especially clinician to clinician, to really dictate and have a reliable test. Person to person as to what exactly they're feeling. Is it the skin moving? Is it, you know, like there's...
Palpation's really historically just bad when the same person does it even. It's hard to like
it's
test.
It's really hard to...
Especially when we're looking for tiny bits of motion. It's just...
And depending on what you learned as a clinician, because there's different schools of theory and technique that we can go down as a physical therapist, that you might be biased to be looking for something. So, like there's a lot of people who fall into muscle energy techniques. And I know one of the physical therapists that I worked under, I mean, that was all they did. So everyone who came in had SI issues then, and everyone needed their SI to be manipulated. And, you know, when we look, when we're looking for something or we have a bias in something, we're more likely to find it and we're more likely to talk about it and to show you what's wrong.
Yeah. And like these muscle energy techniques, I mean, an easy one that everyone can do is just like take both your hands and put them between your knees and squeeze the fists together and you might get a little pop, which I just did. Or so all these different muscle energy, again, it's using the energy of your muscles to contract and help your body feel something different, essentially. And often when you do those things, it can make you feel different around the pelvis, but it's short-lived. And again, if that's all you're doing is you're going in two or three times a week to have that done or to have massage done or anything like that, it's going to be a short-lived, you know, reduction in those symptoms. And finally getting to the point of why we have SI joint pain in the first place is we're tending to see it more and more like a hypersensitivity disorder, where something happened initially, whether it was an initial trauma or over time, that made our SI joint area more sensitive to pain. And now our cup might be overflowing and we just feel pain very easily, even when we stand up, because our paraspinal muscles or the muscles in our low back are just really wanting to grab on quickly because things are really sensitive in that area. And again, it gives us this perception that something's wrong, something's broken in there, which again, the language and how the messages we tell ourselves are also huge.
Well, it's everything. And I mean, the reality is like our SI, and the reason that it might respond a little bit quicker to trauma or trauma you've had in the past, or you lifted in a way that your body wasn't expecting, or the load you placed upon your body was different than what you normally would do, you know, because we have like a lot. Your SI joint in itself in that area is really rich with what's called, we call neural fibers, which have a lot of nociceptive abilities, meaning that, you know, we can stimulate some of this activity that relates up to our brain and then says, oh, something is wrong, we need to protect. And we usually get that pain signal coming down into that area, right? Well, you know, those can be inhibited or activated, I should say, more so from any activity that we normally don't do, or if we're not getting enough sleep, or if we're putting so much pressure and tension. Like, this is really common, say someone who might lift in the gym, but then all of a sudden they go and they move furniture and they do it in a way that they're not used to loading in the gym, or they don't load in the gym, and all of a sudden they're moving furniture and moving boxes in a way that their body hasn't tolerated that stress and that tension, and all of a sudden SI pain. Something must be out of place.
Yeah, and coming back around to that language of like, oh, something's broken, something's wrong, something's out of place, especially if you've gotten those messages from a provider or a doctor or whoever before, like, immediately try and take those and bury them under a pile of shit where they belong.
And then go see a different provider.
And yes, and also never go back to them again, because no one should ever be giving you those messages that are going to, again, perpetuate these pain patterns. Yes. When we attach something negative like that about, like, our body's broken, or I can't lift things up, I can't pick things off the ground, when we attach that with a stimulus of pain, we are actually ingraining it into this pattern of pain in our head even more, where our memory centers combine with our sensory centers, and every time we think of something, it activates this pain pattern a little bit more, and again, it grows and grows, and then we have less of that buffer, so we feel the pain easier. We feel the pain when we think about things, right? We feel the pain when we just start getting a little bit stressed or anxious. So the first thing we need to do is start detaching ourselves from those messages that something's broken, something's wrong, I can't lift anything, I can't move without pain. Which is sometimes the hardest thing. And
no, it totally is, because especially if you've been told that something is structurally weak or structurally unstable, like you have so much SI instability, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do single leg activities, you shouldn't do running, or, you know, whatever it is. It's like we've been told these messages, and some people that I've treated have been told these messages for years, like 5 to 10 years, that your SI is always out of place, that you better be careful with anything that you do, because you are just not a stable person. So you do any kind of activity, yeah, you're going to throw it right back out of place.
Yeah, that's awful. And I, dozens of different people that I've talked to in the past that like have all of these ideas of where, oh, when I hike this hip, it throws my shoulder blade out of place on this side. And then I feel something go out in my neck, and all of these thoughts are like, oh, things are just flying around out of place in my body with every little movement.
Yeah.
Which again, our bodies just get to this place where they're so hypersensitive, so hyperactive, that we start drawing these connections with certain movements, certain behaviors, and we feel pains everywhere. And so again, starting to disconnect from those messages and say, what can I do? What right. can I live into? What kind of movement can I do to continue to get better? Because the research that we do have shows that if we are able to find exercises that load our body to some degree, even if it's isometric, meaning we are just sitting in on a wall squat or a partial wall squat, leaning up against the wall with our knees slightly bent, holding there, breathing there. Those have analgesic effects. Those have effects that are able to help us downregulate pain from our brain, you know, make our body feel more stable and secure. Mm-hmm. Just finding that first little exercise that you can do that helps you feel putting some load through the body a little bit more comfortably. There we go. That's where we start.
And that's all that manual treatment is doing as well. It is
totally.
It is desensitizing that those pain pathways,
yeah,
so that we're not feeling the pain in that area. But they're so short-lived, which is why you have to keep coming back and getting put back into place. But it's just not the reality. The reality is you might have some scoliosis. I have some scoliosis within my body. So I am 100% every time someone checks my SI, it's probably going to be quote unquote out of place, because it's going to be a little bit more misaligned because my spine is a little bit misaligned. But yeah, that doesn't mean that that is contributing to pain, because I don't have pain. So if I don't have pain, well, then you can't say that someone who looks like one hip is higher than the other, or, you know, your SI is out of place, is going to have pain.
Yeah.
And I think Erson Religioso, who we've had on the podcast, said this really great when he said that there was a orthopedic surgeon who said that he never has seen an SI out of place, yeah, or something like that, unless it is associated with like a fracture or a severe trauma. So unless your pelvis is fractured, it's not out of place.
Or if you've been in a high speed car accident or fallen from a 3-story building and landed on a leg or on your hips or something,
it's not out of place. It's not unstable. These terminology, you know, these things can't happen. And the amount of force that a clinician puts into your body is less force than if you were jumping on a single leg.
Yeah. And so again, like Jen mentioned before, like it sounds like we like to shit on these techniques like manipulation, adjustments, manual therapy, things like that, which I would say is not accurate. We like to shit on the message that often comes along with them, that it's putting you back into place, putting your out of place pieces back into place. But really, a lot of these techniques can be a great way to calm the system down, mm-hmm, which is often the first step, especially in something like this, which is a hypersensitivity, mm-hmm, issue. Calm shit down, right? And that's what those techniques do well. Mm-hmm. They don't put things back into place. They calm the nervous system down for a short period of time. So once they're calmed down, then what do? We find the easy exercises that help our body find stability and feel safety, whether that is doing some breath work and finding stability in your rib cage, doing, you know, reassociating yourself with that pelvis, mm-hmm, because often when we get pain in our low back or pain in our pelvis, we start to lose track of understanding where that pelvic tilt is. So doing breath work, laying on your back and just doing light pelvic tucks, that can be a great way to start activating through, mm-hmm, our rib cage, our core, our pelvic floor, and connecting it with breath, which can also kind of pedal down that nervous system a little bit.
100%. If we just did some long, slow exhales and understood where we're breathing from in that rib cage, which we've talked about so many times, and then we combine that with some slow movement or even mobility. So yes, getting back into that pelvic awareness is a great place to start. And then maybe we want to reduce some of the tension that is building up into that pelvis. So we want to get into maybe some hip 90-90 and stretch into those glutes a little bit. Use the breath with the down regulation to help reduce some of those symptoms and take pressure and tension off of you know, a super tense or tight SI area, especially if it's had the message over and over again that it's unstable or that, you know, it is weak or it's fragile or whatever you want to make up about it, or someone else has, you know, starting to take tension off of that area, doing some mobility work, doing some breath work is a great way to start to reduce some of that pain and pressure and calming that down.
Yeah. Calm shit down. Good place to start with most rehab journeys. And then like kind of being able to reintroduce yourself to a lot of the muscles that surround the SI in whatever way that might be. But, you know, we've got our glutes on the back. We've got our glutes on the sides of our hips, quads that run on the front of our body. So how can we start to get activation in those along with, you know, we already mentioned bringing in the core a little bit, but connecting that core stability with some movement of the legs.
Yeah. So like our inner core support. So how we use, so how Dom talked about, you know, starting to understand our breath and our pelvic floor. It's something that we don't really have awareness of. And even if your pelvic floor is tight, we're not getting good, you know, feedback then from that area. So maybe we start to relax tension in the pelvic floor before we start to build some stability in that pelvic floor and transverse abdominis area. And we do some things laying on your back and starting to gain awareness, do some things in quadruped so that, like bird dog, so that we start to feel, you know, what that breath, pelvic floor and the back kind of feel like together. And then we can start to build upon our hips on the outer. So now we start to do some glute bridges, or we do some bridges squeezing a ball or a pillow between our legs. So we're getting our adductors in as well, our inner thighs. Maybe we're doing some clams and some side lying, abduction, like something to just kind of start to, again, bring that awareness of the muscles all around that lumbopelvic area that help to bring support. So we feel those safety signals again.
And some like that, all that we listed off was basically done in a supine position, or you're laying on your back, you're on all fours. We haven't even gotten to standing yet. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these can be relatively comfortable to do, even if you are in more of a hyper irritable place, to just start to explore that movement again, reintroduce yourself to your body. And that's when we start getting back into standing positions and kind of touching into some of the things that may have initially triggered symptoms in us, like doing a squat, like you're going to go and pick something up from the ground. Mm-hmm. But maybe just starting with partial squats where you have something behind you that you can kind of sit back to, tap your butt on, and then stand back up. Getting into a lunge, but maybe you're holding on to something to start, holding onto the back of a chair, lunging down like you're going to tie your shoe or something, and then standing back up. Things that are kind of functional that can get us going towards some of those patterns that may have initially irritated things, but bringing with us all the amazing core support and breath work and safety and stability that we found from those first layers of exercises.
Yeah. And this isn't to say that like, if you have a weak core, then you're going to have SI pain, or that's the reason you have SI pain. Or if you have weak glutes, that's the reason you have SI pain. Like all of these are exercises generally performed from physical therapy, because we know that once we get stuff moving, feeling something different and bringing awareness to, we start to improve the symptoms, mainly because we're starting to load the tissue again and we're decreasing the sensitivity. Not because you're weak, not because you're unstable. You know, again, it's just that these are some general exercises that can really start to move the area and help you feel something different. There's not one exercise program. There's not one thing to do. It's just starting a low level, proving to yourself that you feel good here. It's okay. It's safe. And I can start to load and progress it. Maybe I can start to do squats and lunges a little bit lower or without holding on to something. Or maybe I can start adding weight and load. Like this is how we start to then progress things. And then I think we really do want to, especially in the beginning of this rehab journey, just starting to pay attention to, what do I do on a normal day-to-day basis? Am I always standing on one leg? Or can I, you know, reorient myself into standing on two legs and see how that feels, rather than always shifting side to side? Or if I'm sitting, am I always sitting with my tailbone tucked under me? Or can I sit more on top of my sit bones? Can I find where those sit bones actually are? Can I find a better chair that helps me sit more on top of my sit bones?
And can I find time throughout those sitting periods to stand up, march my knees kind of high, extend at the hips, lay down and activate some of those muscles in bridges or in side-lying hip abduction that you aren't activating when you're sitting for long stretches. So reducing the amount of static postures and increasing the amount that you can be dynamic throughout your day and sitting in one position for less than 20 minutes, 30 minutes max. Like, how can we start to live lives like that, that are a little more dynamic? Because then we're not going to stand up suddenly and have our body feel unsafe because we've been sitting for hours at a time. And then we try to jump up and run into our day and get surprised that when we go and pick up our 40-year-old, when we go and pick up our 40-pound child, that our body freaks out. But like, I've been sitting and working all day. When have I prepared my body to come home and pick up my kid?
Yeah.
You know, how can we start to live more dynamic lives so that we can feel the way that we want to? Thanks everyone for tuning in for another PT Pearl all on the SI joint. If you want to go back and listen to episode 36, where we go through a little bit more of the underlying anatomy, give that one a listen. Also, if you know anybody in your life that's dealing with SI joint pain or has said things like, oh, my SI joint's out of place, my body's out of place, I need to get it put back into alignment, please pass this on to them. Also, if you're looking for more of those exercises that you can go through to start assessing and addressing what's going on in your low back, please check out the Gen Health Low Back Plan. We'll have that linked up down in the show notes. You get a free week trial to check out that low back plan and start moving through it to feel better in your body. And of course, we will see you next time on the Optimal Body Podcast.